right. Well, welcome, everybody. It is so good to see you all here today. I'm excited because I get to preach two times in a row. I was thankful that Pastor didn't have anything special planned because my first part was too long and I couldn't get it all in. And I know he'd be upset if I kept you an hour. So we're going to try to keep going on the prodigal son. And if you didn't see last week's, you might want to listen. We're going to do a little bit of a review, but there's a lot of good stuff in that first part. So if you want to go back and listen to part one, that'd be wonderful. So last week I kind of talked about when we give our heart to Jesus, that each person has the DNA of God in them. And I just wanted to clarify that what that is talking about when I said the DNA, because we used like the metamorphosis of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. He became a brand new creation. It is when we surrender our heart to Jesus that then his life comes alive in us and we become a new creation. And so I just wanted to kind of clarify that, just make that right there so that you understood that part. So we've been talking about the parable of the prodigal son, and that is the story of a father with two sons. And what I really feel personally that this parable is trying to share, that Jesus, the reason he told it, is so that we would come to know what the Father was like, that we would have the heart and see the heart of the Father. And he shows it in different situations. What is the heart of the Father? So let's just do a quick little review here. The younger son starts off, is rebellious. He wants to live his own way. He doesn't want the responsibility. He doesn't want anybody telling him what to do. And so he asks the father. He doesn't really ask the father. He kind of almost demands from the father, hey, give me my share of the inheritance. Now, that was a slap in the face to the father, of course, because you usually have to wait till the person dies. And so it was kind of be like, hey, really looking forward to you, but you're not dying quick enough, so could you give me my inheritance? So it's kind of a slap in the face. The father, though, willingly splits up and divides the inheritance and gives it to both his sons. All right? He doesn't give him a lecture. And then it says that the son packs up and he moves to a distant land. And when he goes to that distant land, what that's really kind of talking about is sin. He's distanced from the father. Sin separates us from God, and it makes a distance between us. All right? And so we talked about how sin is hurtful, that it's going to harm us, and God knows that. And so the son, while he was there in that distant land, he spent all his inheritance, it says, on wild and loose living. And so a famine hits. The son doesn't have any money. All the friends he thought he had have gone. He has nobody who is willing to help him or give him a place to live. He has to get a job feeding pigs. He feeds the pigs, and he's looking at the pig food and saying, that looks good. And he got to the point where he had this aha moment, and it was like, I cannot do this any longer. I am desperate. I don't know what to do. I can't do it myself. And he has this aha moment of first his awakening of saying, I can't do this. I can't do it on my own. And then it goes to the H of aha, and he had to be honest with his situation. And he looks at his situation and he said, you know what? I've sinned against my dad. I've sinned against what he wanted for me, and I was rebellious. He had to be honest. He didn't make excuses. He didn't blame other people. He didn't blame the situations. He just said, I've sinned. And then that sin, when he confessed that, it led him to the last A in aha, action. He took action. He said, my father will help me. Okay? So he knows he needs to take that step back to the father. And he doesn't clean up and he doesn't do anything. He just takes action immediately. And that's where we're going to kind of pick up from the story. But before we do that, I want to go, I want to ask you a question. Well, actually, never mind. I'm not going to ask you that question quite yet. Let's just read Luke 15, 18 through 24. And it says, and this is the rest of the story. And so it starts off with the son having this revelation. I will set out and go back to my father's house and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. So he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, is alive. And he is lost, but he is found. So they began to celebrate. So let's just pray. Dear Father God, we just thank you so much for this parable that Jesus is showing us, your heart. We just ask for your presence to be with us here today, that you would reveal your character through this parable so that we can experience and walk in your character and your presence. Let the living word come alive inside of us. We just bind any distraction or disturbance from stealing the word from us. And we release the Holy Spirit to move freely among us. Thank you for your great love, for the victory that you've given us through the blood of Jesus. And may we see your presence just fall fresh here. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so before I get into the father's response, how he responded to the son, I just want to ask you guys a question. And the question is, what does God think of you? Have you ever thought about that? What does God really think about you? Do you think God is up there shaking his head and go, oh, they messed up again? Do you see all the mistakes they are making? Oh, my goodness, they did that, you know? Or are you thinking that he's rejoicing over the person who you are and he sees the creation who he really made? When God thinks of you, does he only see your past or is he dreaming about your future? How you answer these questions will determine how you see God. And how you see God is going to impact how you're going to face God. Is he that perfect but distant, harsh judge? If that's the case, then you're going to react to him with despair, with hopelessness. You're going to face him with fear and feeling unworthy. Or do you see him as the loving father who is approachable, the one you know you can run to no matter what? It is through our view of him that we make our choices. Think about that. How you view God determines how you're going to respond to God. In short, this parable is going to show us the heart and the character of God. And it's going to help us to see how he really is, so maybe we can change the way we view who he is. So let's look at the father's response to this rebellious son. He's distanced himself. He's lived a sinful life. He's doing his own thing. He used and wasted all his money. And yet, he's stinky and dirty, and he decides to come home. And look, the father sees him a long way off, it said. That means the father was looking for him. The father was thinking about him. He was watching for him. And when he sees him from this distance, what does the father do? It says he runs. He forgets his dignity of his position. He forgets that, you know, his age. He's not worried about what other people think of him. He just takes off, starts running towards his son. In fact, when he gets to there, he actually hugs and kisses him. Now, he's still stinky and dirty, but that didn't hold the father back. Father just hugs him, kisses him. He's just so happy to see him. And he did all this before he confessed that he sinned. Do you see the heart of the Father? He is not against us who are rebellious and stinky with our sin. He loves us. He has open arms for us. And he wants to reveal himself to us. And so he's not taking our sin and trying to beat us down with it and say, oh, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. You see what happened, and blame us. He doesn't do that. He wants us to know how important, how valuable, how much he treasures us. And that is what's going to draw us to the Father. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God was willing to demonstrate his love while we were still stinky and dirty. God's love is bigger than any of our sins. And that's exciting to see, because sometimes we feel like our sin is just too much and that we keep falling into the same sin. Oh, I did it again. I did it again. But God wants you to see he made a way out for you. He's got this. He's bigger than your sin. And so after the father hugs and kisses his son, the son falls down to the ground and he humbles himself and he starts his confession, but he only gets part of it out. Father, I've sinned against you, heaven and you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And the father cuts him off right there. He heard the confession. And so what does he say? Bring me the robe, put it on him quick, and then put sandals on his feet, and then put the ring on him. God restored him. And I'm going to tell you what each piece of those things mean, okay? When he said, put on the best robe, he meant, I'm going to restore your identity. You are going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So you see, his sin, he came to the Father and he just said, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. Boom, he let go of his sin. And immediately, you see, the blood of Jesus has already defeated all sin. So that forgiveness is already there. Amen. All right? So when he released the sin, guess what he did? He robed us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and gave us the cleanse. We are perfect. We're cleansed. The sin has no power. In fact, the sin has been wiped out. And so he gives him this robe and he gives him his identity back. All right? Then he says, put sandals on his feet. Now you see, back then, in those days, slaves are the only ones who went barefoot. But he wasn't. He wanted him to see that, I'm going to give you your dignity back. Put on sandals on his feet. And he's taking the shame of the sin that he wallowed in, the rebelliousness, turning his back on God. And he took that shame and he wiped that out and he gave him his dignity back. And then he puts the ring back on his finger. And the ring was a sign of authority, that you're a part of this family. Everything that the family has, you have the authority of the family behind you. He gave us that authority back that he took from the devil. See, the devil, when Adam and Eve sinned, it said that we were created in God's image and God gave us the rule and reign over the earth. But then the devil came and got Adam and Eve to sin. And then he took the authority of the earth. And so that's where he's saying, I bought back that authority from you through the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus, it says, when he went to hell, he had all our sin and sickness and disease on him. And Satan thought, whoo, I beat you, you're defeated. But he didn't realize, because his blood was perfect and his spirit was perfect, when his spirit came alive again, he defeated. And it says he triumphed. In Colossians chapter 2, you have to go toward the end of it because I can't even tell you the right verse. But at the end of Colossians 2, it talks about how Jesus defeated every principality and power of darkness, that Satan does not have power over you. He has taken that authority back, and he's given it to us. And so we have that freedom. We've been restored. And that's what Jesus has done for us. The Father is just waiting for us to repent and let go of that sin, that ugliness, so that he can restore us, our identity, our dignity, and our authority. He created us originally to be a child in his image, and that's who he wants you to see yourself as. He doesn't want you looking and identifying with your sin, because your sin will always pull you down. Your sin will always separate you. But when we identify with what he says I am, who he calls me, his child, made in his image, I'm free from all those things. And then he heals us from all our sin. That's the powerful part. So he restores our identity when we repent of this ugliness. When we repent, we get a new life. We become that butterfly, I guess you could say. The DNA of God is alive inside of you. As soon as you say, Jesus, you gave your life for me, I'm giving my life to you. You know, it always amazes me when people think they have to give up so much to follow Jesus, when really we get so much when we follow Jesus. There's so much more. And so he restores our identity, and then he takes all of us and heals our sin. Just think of the baggage of your sin, how it's caused wounds, hurts, wrong thinking, mental illness, all these things that it causes, addictions. He's saying, I'm going to heal those from you. I'm going to take them. We don't have to be a slave to sin any longer. He wants us emotionally, mentally, and physically free. Now, I'll tell you, that does, you know, in the spirit realm, immediately that is done. That is a given. It is there for you. It is yours. But sometimes I think I have a sin, okay, that, and it's eating, as you can tell. But it's like I go keep going, oh, I can't get the victory over this. But you know what? I keep trying to do the right thing. Instead of saying, I can't do it, I release it to you, God. I'm going to focus on, you're going to change my heart. You're going to change my desires. I cannot do this, God. I'm receiving the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That sin doesn't have power and a hold on me any longer. I'm going to receive what you have because what I'm doing isn't working. And if I have to do that 20 times a day, I need to do it 20 times a day because I need to renew my mind, renew my heart, and let faith rise up instead of the destruction of sin rise up. Sin doesn't have power anymore. I have the blood of Jesus that has set me free. I am free from sin and its bondage. So I need to just keep that renewing of the truth of who God says, keep my eyes focused on him and not on what I'm doing, not on my sin. I'm so thankful for repentance. Whew, get rid of it. Let go. Focus on God. It's you. You've done this. You got this. You've defeated the sin already. I'm hanging on to you. Okay? Let his power do the work inside of you. But we need to know his truth. This is where we get our truth. I'm so thankful for God's word. God's word is something that he gave us physically that we can hold on to. God is a spirit. We can't see him. But yet in the Bible it says, the word was God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Bible, that's why it's different from every book in the whole world, because it is God. There's life in this. Amen. It's living. It's active. It will perform a work inside of you, but we have to have the word. We need to know, what does he have for us? Who is he? What has he done? All right? And then he gives us back our authority on the earth, what the devil stole from Adam and Eve. And we have authority in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who did it. But Jesus gives us his name. He gives us his spirit to live and abide inside of us. So we have the name above all names. At the knee, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. So we need to realize devil and his demons have to bow at the name of Jesus. We have such authority, and it's with us. The devil doesn't have to beat you up any longer. But we need to know that we have our free will. We can know these things, but it's not going to just happen. You know, the gift of God is free. We have this freedom. We have this inheritance. We have this benefit package. But we have to start renewing our mind to receive it. So the Father doesn't want us in bondage to the devil and sin. He wants us to know who he is so that we can know who we are. All these things, Jesus has taken the punishment. He has defeated the power of the devil and eternal death for us. His perfect blood has wiped out every sin, every demonic power, every lie, and he rose triumphantly. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's that release and receive the righteous robe of righteousness from Jesus. That's what we have to remember. Release and the righteous robe of Jesus. Don't hold on to your sin. Don't identify with your sin. Your sin is always going to pull you away from God. It's going to make you do things on your own strength. It's always going to hurt you, and it will cause death inside of you, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We have to let go of our sin. Even if you've been unjustly done, we need to just forgive those who have hurt us. You know, and that's not easy. But this unconditional love that Jesus has for us is so powerful. And what he's done through the blood of Jesus, we need to accept it. Because God doesn't want you to get beat up. He doesn't want you to stay in bondage. He wants you free. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. We need to focus on the new life, not identify with our old life. When you sin, don't say, oh, I always do that. No. Jesus, he doesn't even see your sin. He wipes it out so that he says he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember your sin. So when you say, oh, God, I did it again, he goes, I don't remember you ever doing this before. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. So don't hold on to your sin. Don't claim it as your own. That's not who you are. He wants you to let the past go, release it, and receive who you really are. Because as we do this, we're going to build a relationship with Jesus, not just a religion. And we're going to see this later on as we take a look at the brother here in Luke 15:25 to 32. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered the father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you, never disobeying your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. "My son," the father said, "you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Do you see that here he is? He's the son who stayed home with the father. But there's this battle going on inside of him because he's thinking, "I've obeyed you, I've respected you, I've worked for you, and you've never done anything here for me. I did all the right things, and you won't even give me a kid to celebrate with my friends." So he refuses and doesn't want to go in. But the father tells him something very profound. He says, "My child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." So even though this son who was with the father, you can tell he didn't have a relationship with the father. It was almost more like religion, doing the right thing. That's legalism. We cannot work our way to Jesus. Our works are like filthy rags. We can't do anything to get to Jesus. And yet Jesus is telling us, everything is yours. It's all yours. You can have it at any moment. It's there for you. But this son didn't know what it was. And I feel like, you know, really, I mean, I've heard these scriptures, 45 years? And yet I feel like just since I was turned 61, all of a sudden these scriptures are coming alive. God, I haven't been standing and receiving all that you've done for me, all that you've given me. And I can see where the body of Christ is like this, but I think there's an awakening happening in the church. There's an awakening of saying, yes, look what God has given us. We've been letting the devil be in control. We've been letting the devil rob and steal our families, hurt our loved ones, cause all these bad things to happen. And we just have taken it. But we've been doing the right works, you know? We're doing the right thing. Have a good, you know? It doesn't work. It's all what Jesus has done. It's nothing we can do. Our goodness isn't good. It's his perfectness he's given us. His authority he's given us. His freedom from sin and sickness he's given us. The church needs to wake up and say, I'm going to start knowing who my father is so I can start living and walking in all that Jesus did for me. Amen. I feel bad for Jesus. I just think of him and I go, God, I'm so sorry. It's taking me so long to get this. But you know what he told me? Hey, you got it now. You know, you're getting it. So don't worry about the past. The past is gone. Go forward. Take what you're learning. And this is it. I'm excited because Jesus, I want to go over, and we're going to look at our benefit package here in a second. But I just kind of want to go over again what he's really done for us. But it all begins with having a relationship with the Father, getting to know who is your daddy. What does he have for you? He's a good God. So the Father sent the Son, and Jesus took all the judgment for my sin. The power of sin has been defeated. We've gone over that. Jesus conquered the devil. The devil, he doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. Because if you know who you are and the authority that you have, you're going to realize he's under your feet. You don't have to be under his. So he does not want you to come alive to who you really are and who God has created you to be. Then Jesus has conquered sickness and disease by letting sin, sickness, and disease possess him. And it says, by his stripes we were healed, mentally, physically, emotionally. Now we're going to be taking communion later. And in this communion part, it talks about Here's my body, here's my blood. The blood of God, Jesus has washed us of all our sins and given us new life. But then he goes, my body was broken so that yours doesn't have to be. When we even accept a cold, we're letting this devil have dominion over us. We're saying, I'm in agreement, oh, it's just arthritis, I'm getting old, so I have to accept it. No, what does it say? Jesus took all our sickness and disease. So we've got to start changing our mentality, changing what we're speaking out of our mouths, because life and death come out of our mouth. Which one do we want? Death? Life? I definitely want life, especially if that's what Jesus has given me. Now, I'm not saying you should stop taking your medicine, anything like that. I'm saying you need to renew your mind to the truth. Start confessing the truth. Start putting that truth inside your heart so it starts coming out your mouth. Repenting when you get into saying the negative. When you start speaking words of death, make a crop failure to those words of death. Oh, God, thank you for the blood. Wash those words out. That spirit of death, the law of the spirit of death has been defeated, but the law of the spirit of life is coming alive inside of me. Lord, forgive me for the death I've spoken, but Lord, I choose to speak and release your life. When I say speak and release, I actually mean speak it out loud, okay? So, he has done that. Jesus has conquered eternal death, and we accept that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. In Psalms 103, this is the one you want to write down. Psalms 103, because this is your benefit package from God himself. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. It's called your inheritance or your benefit package. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. So what is he telling us? Don't forget. Just start praising me and thanking me. These are yours, okay? Who pardons all your iniquities. Your iniquities are your sins. He wipes them out. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. You know what I think the pit is? Mental and emotional illness. Because Satan always comes in and he wants to put you into a pit of darkness and hold you there and make you think that that's where you have to stay. God is always pulling us out of darkness. He is light. So let the light of his truth come alive inside of you and take hold of it. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Okay, all us older people, that scripture is in there just for us. Renews your youth like the eagle. And I always think of Moses. It said that his vigor had not left him and his eyes had not dimmed. He was 120 years old when he died. I have the same God alive in me. You know? Jesus paid the ultimate price. I want to encourage you in two things, two areas. Seek to know who your Father is. When you see who he is, you're going to go running towards him. You're going to take that step of action towards him. And you know what? He's going to run to you. He's been thinking of you, watching you, waiting for you, just to surrender. You know, and as a Christian, there's just different areas in our life that we have to surrender, you know, to him also. If you don't have the right image of God the Father, then what do we need to do? Start renewing it with the Word of God, putting God's Word in, his truth. I can't tell you enough how important this Word is, how important praying is, how important worship is, because you're putting the spiritual things into your life and into your heart. We are the head, not the tail. This is what the word says. Above and not below. Greater is the one who lives inside of me. The law of the spirit of death has been defeated, and the law of spirit of life has been loosened inside of me, in my mortal body. That same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you and gives life to your mortal body. That's this physical body. It's a new way of living. And that's what we've got to take hold of. We need to let the truth come into our hearts and let faith rise up within us. Because you know what? The world is going to always offer, if you just listen to the news, fear. All right? There's fear of man, fear of lack, fear of the dark, fear of germs, fear of sickness. There's fear everywhere we go. But what has Jesus said? I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. My perfect love casts out fear. We just need to receive the perfect love of the Father and let faith rise up in our Father, and that fear is going to have to flee and bow its knee. We battle with the Word. We battle with the truth. We battle in the Spirit. And then that's when we see the victory. We need to have this new way of living and thinking for ourselves and for our children. We need to let faith rise up within us, and we know that God has called us to be mountain movers. We need to move the mountains and the things that Satan has built up in our families, in our community, in our county, in our state, in our schools. We need to break through those mountains of lies, demonic presence, and we need to start speaking out the truth. Amen. It's going to make a difference. Let's start letting God's living presence come alive. Let's start walking in who He is and not in who we think we are. Second one, and this is, I didn't really hit on this a ton, but don't turn your heart against the lost. Don't be more disturbed by their lifestyle, because the real tragedy is that they're lost. And they need Jesus. They need the living Father. They need to know that their Father God is seeking them, is loving them, and wanting them to come home. Let's not lose heart that the Father has Himself given to us. You know, He was patient with us. He's been good to us. His heart, He opened His arms to us. But He does that for everybody. So don't be afraid to hug the stinky and dirty, even before they confess their sin. I'm excited about this message, and I'm excited to have people who want to go the same direction and want all of what God has for us and start seeing who He is. You guys, it takes away religion, and it builds a relationship. It sets us free. There is such freedom for us, and yet we've been walking in bondage, even knowing Jesus. And I'm so thankful for this revelation that He's given us. And the way we stay strong is staying together. Because when you're on your own, you forget these things. We need to have one another to stir us up, to encourage us, to pray when we're weak. He said, I called you to be a body, not an individual. We need each other so that we stay on this path of receiving who God really is, seeing who God really is, and then receiving all that He's given us. Because then we know who we are, and we can share it, and we can love the lost, and we don't have to live in the power of the enemy. Let's bow and pray.